We're going to talk a little bit this morning about what happened to Jesus. And that's a strange segue from our theme for this year, which has been hope. And bear with me. I think you'll see the connection as we get to the end of this discussion. Did the Jews and the Romans kill Jesus? There's no question about it. The real question that is before us is what motivated them to kill Jesus? I know that Jesus said some challenging things when he was here. I know that he took them to task for their traditional misinterpretation of Scripture. And I know that the Jews, at least the leadership of the Jews, was terribly offended by what Jesus said. There seems to be a distinction between the leadership of the Jews and the common man. It doesn't appear that the common man was offended, but the leadership certainly was. In fact, there were crowds around Jesus when he was here, and he said a lot of things. He told the crowd in Matthew 15 at verse 10, "Listen and understand. What goes into someone's mouth does not defile them, but what comes out of their mouth, that's what defiles them." Now, that was a long conversation that Jesus had with the people that were around him. His disciples, his followers, had gone through a field of grain, and they were plucking the heads of the grain. They were rubbing it in their hand. They were eating it. Well, the Pharisees, those that were the leadership, the Jews said, "Boy, you can't do that. It's the Sabbath. It's Saturday. It's a day of rest. You can't work." Jesus then said, "The important thing is not what goes into your mouth, but what comes out." And his apostles came to him a little bit later, and they said, "Don't you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this?" So he said some things that challenge traditional understandings. Matthew, the 21st chapter, is a reminder that the Pharisees understood that too. You know, in Matthew 21, Jesus has been teaching them in parables, and the chief priests and the Pharisees heard Jesus' parables. Well, they knew he was talking about them. He had taught parables about the prodigal son and the older brother. And they understood that the older brother was them, the one who was unhappy that the prodigal had returned home and had been received with such forgiveness. And they didn't like that. Jesus taught a parable about a man that owned a vineyard. When the time came for him to collect the fruit of his vineyard, he sent a servant to collect from the man that had been managing the vineyard and beat the servant. Didn't pay the man. He sent another servant, beat that servant, didn't pay him. Then the man sent his own son. They beat him and killed him. And the Pharisees understood. That was about them. They were the ones that were managing the vineyard for God. And when God expected to get something from them, they got mad. Jesus said some things that offended people. There's no question about that. John, the 8th chapter, beginning at verse 31, Jesus has a long conversation with the Jews who believed him, and at the same time talked to the Pharisees, the leadership of the Jews. Jews who believed on him, Jesus said, if you hold my teaching, you're really my disciples. Then you'll know the truth. The truth will make you free. They answered him, we're Abraham's descendants. We've never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we should be set free? Jesus replied, verily I tell you, everyone who's a slave who sins is a slave to sin. A slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. If the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I know that you're Abraham's descendants, yet you're looking for a way to kill me because you have no room for my word. I'm telling you what I've seen in the Father's presence, and you're doing what you've heard from your father. Abraham is our father, they said. Were Abraham's children, Jesus said, then you would do what Abraham did. As it is, you're looking for a way to kill me. A man who has told you the truth that he heard from God. Abraham did not do such things. You're doing the works of your own father. We're not illegitimate children, they protested. The only father we have is God himself. Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you'd love me. For I've come here from God. I've not come on my own. God sent me. Why is my language not clear to you? Because you're unable to hear what I say. You belong to your father, the devil. You want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language because he is a liar, and he is the father of lies. Because I tell you the truth, you do not believe in him. Can any one of you prove me guilty of sin? If I'm telling you the truth, why don't you believe me? Whoever belongs to God hears what God says. The reason that you do not hear is you do not belong to God. That offended the leadership of the Jews. Jesus called the people to repentance. He called them to make a change. A major change in the way that they were relating to God. Jesus challenged the status quo. He rocked the boat. But he wasn't overly confrontational. The vast majority of Jesus' ministry was, well, we would probably call it low profile. In Isaiah, the 42nd chapter, beginning at verse 1, 42nd chapter, beginning at verse 1, Isaiah is prophesying about Jesus, and this is what he said. Here's my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him. He will bring justice to the nations. He will not shout or cry out or raise his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. In faithfulness he'll bring forth justice. He will not falter or be discouraged till he establishes justice on earth. In his teaching the islands will put their hope. He's talking about Jesus. Pharisees, on the other hand, went out and they plotted how they could kill Jesus. Matthew, the 12th chapter. Jesus withdrew from the place where he had been teaching. A large crowd followed him, healed all that were ill, but he warned them not to tell others about him. Now, there's perhaps a lot of reasons why Jesus warned them. But most of Jesus' ministry is characterized as, well, Isaiah says he'll not cry out. He's like a voice crying in the wilderness. This is what we read about Jesus. This was fulfilled what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. Here's my servant in whom I have chosen, the one that I love, in whom I delight. I'll put my spirit on him. He'll proclaim justice to the nations. He will not fall or cry out. No one will hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break. A smoldering wick he will not snuff out till he has brought justice through to victory. With his name, the nations will put their hope. What Jesus did was invite people gently to take up his yoke. Matthew 11, verse 29, take my yoke upon you, learn me. I am meek and gentle in heart. And you know, when I think about all of this, I have to think about what the lesson is for me. I need to learn to be kind and gentle. I need to be one who enjoys the fruit of the Spirit. 1 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, or 6th chapter, and at verse 3, he says, if anyone teaches otherwise, teaches other than what Jesus has been telling Paul to teach, if anyone teaches otherwise and does not agree with the sound instruction of our Lord Jesus Christ and to godly teaching, they're concerned, or they're conceited, and they understand nothing. They have an unhealthy interest in controversies and quarrels about words that result in envy, strife, malicious talk, evil suspicions, and constant friction between people of corrupt mind who have been robbed of the truth. Some people are not kind and gentle. And Paul warns them about being that way. We must not be that kind of people. He told Timothy, keep reminding God's people of these things. Warn them before God against quarreling about words. It's of no value. Do you best present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. And then, you know, I think there's a lesson for me in the way that I relate to the people that I'm going to see this holiday period. There are a lot of senses in which this holiday period that we're embarking on this month is kind of similar to the Passover feast. A lot of Jews came to Jerusalem with an imperfect understanding of what the law said. They had a lot of traditions. They had a lot of baggage that they carried with them when they came to Jerusalem. They didn't have anything to do with carrying their clothes. And Jesus interacted with those people at the Passover. I want you to just take a minute to think about the times when Jesus interacted with people at the Passover. I know Passover is not like the holidays that we're getting ready to celebrate. Passover was something that was commanded by God. I absolutely understand that. The holidays that we celebrate don't have anything to do with God. But nevertheless, a lot of people are going to come to these holidays and they're going to have some preconceptions and some baggage that they're going to bring with them when they come to our house over the holidays. And again, it has nothing to do with the clothes that they're going to wear. But they're thinking about God. Just like the Jews at the Passover were thinking about God. And Jesus had an opportunity to take advantage of that and to talk to them about God. Sure, he said some things that the Pharisees, the leaders of the Jews, were offended at. But for the most part, he was gentle, meek in spirit. He wanted them to take up the yoke that he was offering. And so, as I confront and interact with the people that are around me, I understand that most of my neighbors have, at best, an imperfect understanding of God. But it does me no good to be harsh and unkind just for the sake of being harsh and unkind. And I have to admit, I can be like what Paul described, people like to argue about words. That's me. If you know me, that's me. I like to argue about words. And I have to learn that lesson. So this month, we're all going to have an opportunity to interact with a lot of people. But let's interact with them gently and with kindness so that we can be like Jesus was. Now, next week we're going to talk about Jesus throwing over the tables in the temple. I'm sure everybody thought about that when we started talking about why they wanted to kill him. Next week we're going to talk a little bit about that. But you know, I think the Romans probably had a pretty good understanding of why the Jews delivered Jesus to be crucified. And we'll conclude by talking about that.